composer, hard bop pianist and arranger, Horace Silver, with his 1957 jazz hit, Señor Blues. Horace Silver died at his home in 2014 in New Rochelle, New York. He was 85 years old, but by the time of his death, he had issued 3 live albums, 7 compilation albums, and 36 regular albums to his credit. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead. Well, we have a lot to talk about. We have too much to talk about that could fit into one program, so I'm suspecting that we will continue this program tomorrow. But in the meantime, let's talk about some developments. As you know, the president is under the gun, and there are all kinds of versions as to what his behavior suggests is going on with him. Today, of course, the Democrats ramp up even further their attack on the president. But the unfortunate thing here is that the country is in a state of flux. The world is in a state of flux. And you get the sense that the leadership of the various countries, ours included, they're not handling what's happening well. They're not handling it well. The oppositions in all these different countries also are besieged with the idea of wresting power from the established order. Things are not going well because there is no stability. There is no stability. And that's the number one thing that people want. When they wake up every day, they don't want to be pummeled by simply the vicissitudes of life. They want to be able to at least put in their heads some kind of order for what they have to do on any given day. And it should not include dodging bombs, protecting your children, a whole community out of order, violence unabated. It shouldn't be these things. But that is exactly how a vast portion of the world is living. Literally, minute by minute, it's not a good way to live. It can't possibly be a good way to live. Institutions are failing and have failed. So there is very little in much of the world that is stable. And that's the one thing that people look to as an indication of how things are going in their lives. Is the country stable? Is my community stable? Is my family stable? Is my job stable? They can deal with all the ups and downs that come with life, as they have for thousands and thousands of years. But in our time, we have been reduced to calibrating our existence against the way institutions are running in our societies. We have runaway kleptocracies, just stealing blindly, just stealing as much as they can steal from the people. You have a meteoric rise in cronyism. in dynastic rule. Well, my father was president, and here I am. I'm going to be the next president, and they make it so. It's bitterness and enmity and grudges being worked out, and everybody knows it is all predicated on the lives of ordinary people. They are the throwaways in the whole equation. It doesn't matter how many die. They're just consigned to that grouping that you see on a page of, you know, these are the costs that have to be paid. People have to die. Families disrupted. Futures totally canceled. The United States, from what you hear from your friends and neighbors, relatives, they're not happy with where the country is right now, regardless of their individual political orientation. The bottom line is that there's a growing feeling and of great resentment that this is what we have come to as a nation, and this is the way we are living. We have an inveterate liar, and he has no shame about it. As our president, his administration reflects his so-called values. They're all lying, dodging, they're stealing, they're kleptocrats. And it has become, for some time now, again, I mentioned it before, the dynastic approach. We saw in recent months Hillary Clinton kind of circling, buzzing around the fray and looking down to see where she can fit again in American life as a leader, as an institution in herself. Her family of three, let's just take that as an example. A family of three. She's occupied several very, very high profile positions. Secretary of State. And now she wants clearly to be president. Her husband was Attorney General of Arkansas, Governor of Arkansas, President of the United States, impeached President of the United States. They have no shame. They have no shame about this. Their progeny is interested. You can see she has already climbed a couple of steps toward that greater goal of leader in the United States from two wretched parents. Nobody in their right mind would like to include in their social circles. But they don't care. Their feeling of entitlement is so great that your puny little opinion and my little puny opinion matters not. They already know that when the time comes, if it should come, they just, you know, They probably have it typed up already. You know, the all-purpose apology. Forgive me, I made mistakes in the past, but I'm your leader, so do what I say and give me what I ask for. This is what the United States has come to be, so that kind of leader is the kind of leader that Donald Trump is. So when people talk about, well, we need to put him out. We need to put him out of our misery. They're not thinking. Donald Trump is the same as the Clintons. The Clintons are the same as Donald Trump. That's their orientation. The assets of the country are for them to use to do whatever they want. The people, well, they'll just have to suffer the consequences. Collateral damage, they used to call that. And we are in a kind of dream state. We really believe that we have an active role to play in creating a society that we imagine would be just and democratic, small d. We believe that we are literally holding up the tenets of and beliefs of this country. We are the believers. They're not. And they toy with us. They play with us. Because in this system that they have carefully put together, so that whether you're Democrat or Republican, you're still a ruling. You're still in charge. And you will not be giving up your power anytime soon, not easily. If you're a Democrat, the hope is if you have to get out of office, you cut all the deals that you possibly can, but you help another Democrat, another person just like you, to come in. And so the cycle goes on and on and on. You know, it repeats itself. I would like to think that the people have the capacity to not only understand what's going on, I think they have a handle on that, but they need a better and more thorough understanding. But I'd like to think that there will soon come a time, the sooner the better, when we convey to the powers that be, which we are responsible for creating, we have an obligation to understand that we have had a direct role in creating certain circumstances that are the height, the antithesis, the very antithesis of democracy. It is against us, and we created it. We continue to support it. We continue to legitimize it. And we add the yeast to a system that now is in decline and in decay. And therefore, there's going to be greater rigidity in terms of where various sectors stand, where they belong in this society. Because with this rigidity will be the accumulation of wealth just for them will be the accumulation of rights and privileges just for them. You will have assets accruing only to them. The benefits of our society as a whole, they will have the larger share of it. And to keep us in the place that we are expected to be, we will have a larger and larger military, larger and larger police force, so that those who find themselves as favored ones, according to the new rules, and you know they've been in existence for a long time, but they'll get sharper now. A military will supervise the strict adherence to where it is you belong. If you get out of hand, we know exactly where you're going to end up. This is where we are. Now, people still are dreaming and they're still fantasizing that, you know, this is the epitome of a democratic country. And all is well. You can't hold to that line of reasoning if you're illiterate. Okay. If you could read a book about US history, there's no way you could hold to that line of reasoning. The evidence has been documented. It still shows what the truth of this country has been and continues to be: a rigid regulation of classes, of people. It allows every now and then, it allows a little bit of elastic. They sew in a little bit of elastic to blur the lines and to relax the barriers. But you'd be crazy to think that what is preached about this country is actually absolutely true. So that brings me back to what we see. We are encouraged to see the small picture, and even so, just barely seeing it. It's an election, and we are supposed to get excited by the contest, by the tactics taken to gain more territory, and by the eventual outcome. How will it work out? What would it work out to be, our role, this role that we have in deciding who is president and who's vice president? We don't decide that, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know. We don't decide that. A carefully crafted system decides that, and the negotiations around that happen way behind closed doors. We so far behind closed doors, we can't hear anything. We can't see anything. We have no control. But still, there is this pocket that we occupy at the moment. The doors are not entirely shut. Things are not 100% bad. And we see all the time, with alarming regularity, signs and wonders But indeed, our society is progressive. Good things are happening here. People can now live relatively safely in communities of their choice. Their children can still go to good schools. So that is the control mechanism. You can produce quick and ready evidence that things are improving, things are moving along just well. It must be a reflection of the insights, the collective insights of the people and their leadership. Again, another fallacy. So in the face of what people would be trying to convey, people like me, there are others, to pay attention to the real evidence of things. Compare it to what you and I have been told is the reality that we should embrace. It's 2019. We just lost an illustrious member of the U.S. Congress, Elijah Cummings. He is a blip on the pages of history. Who cares about him? He's gone. He's dead. We put up with him because, well, to a certain degree, he was speaking for a larger constituency, larger than his congressional district. But now, he's gone. And you see how the regard registers, at what level. You would never know that he was here. You would never know he was in Congress. And it didn't even take a week. In his entire time in Congress, the system there in Washington decided he was never going to play a major role. I mean, in deciding things, really deciding things. No. He's on the sidelines and he's a commentator, an observer. He's gone. That's it. And let's not have another Elijah Cummings anytime soon. So we are not evaluating our own position. We are not considering exactly where we are in the scheme of things. We have been and continue to be dealing with illusion. We have no real power in this country. Working people have no real power. It is symbolic power. And I'm wondering when we will decide that power ought to be real. Are we afraid of it? Are we afraid to make that decision? Are we content with the scraps thrown from the table of privilege? Have we accepted fully that we basically are servants of a system, not masters of it? We have to make up our minds. Because the frustrating thing is that things you can see immediately, they would take decades before people acknowledge them. I go back to Trump. from his earliest foray into politics. I said, there's something wrong with this guy. Not a good man. And he should not be president of the United States. You know how many people excoriated me? Even after what they have seen, the repeat, you know, the chapters repeating themselves, they still defend him. And don't be surprised, I don't want to disturb your week with the thought, don't be surprised if he wins again. With everything people know, with every story written and exposing this man and his minions for what they are doing to this country, he stands a very good chance, in my view, of being elected again. And I ask all the time, what happens to disconnect reality from action? What happens? What causes that to happen? There are people who will support him heartily. The more robust the opposition in Congress, and I'm talking now legitimate opposition, not mean-spirited opposition, but legitimate opposition, the more that happens, the more it reveals him to be a vile sub-creature, the more people would support him. It boggles the mind, but that's what it is. So how do you live in this environment, in this country, where people's minds are kind of messed up? That they vote against their own interests and they delight in it. They want everybody to know they voted for the crazy guy. They like the crazy guy and they like him because he's shaking things up. And he's showing the power elite who they are and what they've done to this country. All of these are silly arguments, but they're real. They have power. They have traction. So that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. I want to talk also about Hillary Clinton, which is what I mentioned in the beginning. The poison of American politics. And she's allowed to do it. How can a person who had been essentially shown to be, in so many cases, on the wrong side of politics, come out and say that another person involved in politics, Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, who is running, that she's an agent of the Russians? How does that happen? And Clinton is allowed to walk around as if nothing is happening. You just totally destroyed a person's life for no reason other than you just don't like her and you don't want her to have a credible shot at running for president. You want that for yourself. You're a horrible leader. You have been yourself. You've shown practically every bad side to political leadership. You're dishonest as the day is long. And you're going to make an accusation like that, and the Democratic Party doesn't step in and say, we're not going to have that. You want a barroom fight? You go in a bar where you belong. We are not going to have you incur for us the responsibility of having to defend your words in the interest of your election by jeopardizing somebody and making them seem to be publicly, you on a public campaign. Somebody's working for the Russians. This is the kind of craziness, the madness. This is why I'm not involved. Because to accept Hillary Clinton, if I were a Democrat, to accept her in any way in my party is to insult myself and to insult the party. That's how I would think. Who wants somebody like that? And she's getting away with it. That's white skin privilege right there. Where do you get off publicly assailing somebody, alleging that they're working for the Russians? That's a new thing now. Working for the Russians, and the party allows you to get away with that behavior. You should have been kicked out of the party from the second syllable that you say. You should be out. And not you're out until you apologize. We're not playing those games. That is a very foul thing to do. You are destroying a person's life. You haven't produced any results, any evidence. And you know it's going to cause a great upheaval in her life, which is exactly your intention. And the party, including the women of the party, Nancy Pelosi, who talks about the, you know, the agony the country will go through by putting Trump through an impeachment. But you say nothing when Hillary Clinton is saying, yeah, my co-member of the Democratic Party is a Russian spy. And she gets away with that. Well, I think we'll stop here because there's just 2 points I've made so far, which means I have a lot more to go, but not today. We'll continue this tomorrow. But if you have something to add to the conversation as it is so far, 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let me know what you're thinking. More and more, you see how important it is that we talk things out. We talk to each other to get some rudimentary understandings of things and to remind ourselves that we're not crazy. This system is crazy. It's not a good system that would help you improve or help the nation improve, not the way it's going. We have to figure out a healthy alternative to what we're experiencing, because what we're experiencing is not the best. Maat from New York, you start us off today.
Yes, I want to attach on what you were saying about the possibility of Trump being reelected. One of the most spookiest things, because I can't think of the exact word right now, is how people, no matter what that man does, how people who we would have ordinarily thought of as being decent. I heard last night or early morning, I don't know if you remember Peter Bragan. He's the one who came to fame when he, a psychiatrist that took on the establishment when they were trying to check DNA and say that black boys had a tendency toward violence. Well, he's gone downhill from there. I don't know if people are deranged or demented or have dementia, because he got on the air with Coast to Coast, George Norrie, and said basically that Trump had calmed things down and brought much peace in the Middle East. I mean, don't forget that Congress itself tried to change the Yemen situation, which Trump vetoed with some crazy comment about his constitutional rights, and I guess the cash of Saudi Arabia always factor in. And then this whole thing in Syria, with what he's done and the double cross that occurs, I mean, and he just went on and on. And I don't know if he's playing up to George Norrie, who seems to be with this right.
But where are you going? You're so far off where I expected you to be.
Well, I was trying to address what you said about the possibility of Trump possibly being reelected, and then you mentioned about something along the lines about how people kind of accommodate in certain ways, no matter what he does or how low it goes. That's what I was trying to focus on.
Yeah, but that's a long-standing phenomenon. The greatest example still exists, Adolf Hitler. No one in their right mind, if you were to present the arguments at that time, no one would have envisioned the rise of an Adolf Hitler and the utter devotion to this man.
Mm-hmm. Of a supposedly intelligent, intellectual, renowned people. And what's interesting, Eutrice, is that if you remember during the divorce with Ivanka, whatever her name was, the first wife, one of her complaints was that he had Hitler speeches on the nightstand, which greatly annoyed and upset her. And even Trump himself said at one point when he was asked about it, because it did come out, he said, well, I won't confirm or deny, but if I did have Hitler's speeches on the nightstand, you know, as the only reading material in his house, he said, I wouldn't have read it. That was his response. So that's a good point about Hitler, because it feels like the 30s, and even going toward World War III, because people just don't seem to get it, whether it's the Republicans or people like Dr. Peter Bragan, and on and on.
Well, I'm saying it's time for us to raise the questions that people should be considering or reconsidering, because that's the direction that we're headed. That's where we're going. In some cases, that's where we already are. Thanks for getting us started today. Stuart from California, you're on the air.
Hey, Therese, I had asked you about the cancer. I'm sorry I haven't written to you yet, but I'll get to it. About what you're talking about, first of all, you forgot to mention Hillary's affiliation with Monsanto. That's a big one.
The list is very long when it comes to Hillary Clinton.
That should be near the top. Anyway, you know, when all you guys talk about, well, no matter what he does, everyone seems to blow it off or accept it, and they still support him. But
yes,
in my experience with the people I'm in contact with, They don't know what's going on. I just had something with my next door neighbor. The electric guy was here, and he was saying we both have smart meters on our houses. I assume you know about the dangers of smart meters. Anyway,
yes.
I mentioned to those people, I talked to him, and I mentioned to them, I can get you the information. I called Gary to get the information. Anyway, it was like they didn't want it. They didn't know anything about it. Even the representative from the electric company, he thought everything was fine. I told him, well, that's like the water company. Those people that work there think that the water is perfectly fine and fluoride is fine. People do not know what's going on. I don't know if it was just the Republican Party or who, but it's very interesting and so ingenious how they have insidiously taken over everything.
No, it's not just the Republican Party. It's
every party. Well, I said that.
Everybody's in this. Everybody has a piece of this. Nobody.
But the media. People turn on their TV. They hear the news on Fox or CBS. Or I don't even know if they're still in existence. Anyway, I know my girlfriend does that. That's where she gets her information, CNN. But they're not hearing what you're talking about, what Gary's talking about. People don't know anything. And that's my biggest...
They will soon find out that, in fact, they knew all along but decided to ignore it. Decided it was made up or just was not part of their reality. They had a whole different reference point for reality. But sooner or later...
Even knew to begin with to be able to ignore it. It's very strange when I talk to people. I feel like I'm on a different dimension. It's like I don't belong on this planet. And that's with health. I can't tell people about health either. I've learned a lot from Gary. People don't want to hear it. They just say, oh, I'll just go to my doctor and I don't need all this information. Boy... it's so weird. The more I learn, the more disconnected I am from people around me. And tell you the truth, I don't call anybody. I let go of all my friends. I'm perfectly fine being by myself, and I'm looking forward to a new life out of L.A. with new people. But, oh, man. So it's... That's
but
my biggest
just,
beef with what's going
straight.
On. You guys can talk about get the money out of politics. I keep saying it's not just the money, it's the media. We need to take back the airwaves. But, you know, you guys say, oh, that'll never happen. I said that to Gary, and that was his reaction. But to me, wherever the people are getting their information from, that's where the target needs to be. And as far as I can tell...
Well, it needs to be everywhere, because we will soon have to acknowledge that everything is related. Everything is joined up with something else in one way or the other. So there's no such thing as saying, oh, we're only going to deal with this. Right now, at the phase of development, in different phases of development, you become concentrated on one thing because that's the primary focus of your organization. But in
and
the
right
end,
now, a lot of it's the politics
you reach
and
a
voting.
Place where you
and
see
like
the
I mentioned to you before, 3 million votes did not count because Trump got into office losing by 3 million votes. And I need someone to convince me that it's worth it for me to go vote. Because with all the fraud that's going on, so many different areas, Greg Palast...
You don't need anybody to convince you of anything. You need to convince yourself.
Well, I just want to hear it from people
to be
open-minded.
You don't need anybody to convince you. You just...
Yeah, I know.
You're thinking and researching. You'll come to your own conclusions. Thanks for calling in and contributing today.
Thank you, Trace.
Thanks a lot. Well, this is the point. This is the level at which we should be talking. Don't get sidelined by what media organizations and even the candidates themselves are saying, this is what you ought to think about. Think about my election and think about helping to elect me. That's the conversation they want. The conversation you should think about is, what is that whole system about? How does it help you and your neighbor and your children? We need to get to that level of conversation, and we will see an entirely different reality, and we get an entirely different orientation from it. If we look at it critically and clinically, just like, Sherlock Holmes with his big magnifying glass, we go up close to the problem or to the issue, and we separate out the things, the main things, and we see, I didn't know this, I didn't know this, I didn't know this, and you come to a whole different appreciation and conclusion. Speaking of conclusion, we've just come to ours. Thanks so much for listening today and for contributing. I am always so proud to have people like you in the mix here, where we can learn from each other. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.